Let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can spend our days with you, Lord, our nights with you, and Lord, we thank you that you're always here with us. Lord, I pray that our focus would be on you, and Lord, I thank you for all that you are for us, Lord, starting with our salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word as we look at it tonight. Lord, I pray that I wouldn't distract from it. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. We will be looking, obviously, at Psalm 23 tonight. It's something that's been a blessing to me over the last month or so, and I had been studying to possibly do a series or something along those lines, but the Lord led to just kind of a look at it from a certain perspective tonight, and that's what we'll do. And we're just going to look at both the shepherd and his sheep tonight, the shepherd and his sheep. And this whole psalm is a psalm of David. I have been thinking, you know, what led to him writing this? Was he out with his sheep one day? And he obviously knew what it was to be a shepherd. And as he studied and thought about his Lord, he started putting some thoughts and some inspired writings here of who that shepherd was, and some things about that shepherd. And I've noticed that in my life as I've gone through life and taken different steps, whether maybe it's getting married, and you start to realize some things about the Lord and his relationship with the church, or whether it's when you have kids and you start to understand some more things about what it is, what our Lord is as a heavenly Father. And I would imagine it's something the same with David, as far as what it was to both be a shepherd and then to be a sheep, and he understood some things. And I want to look tonight, starting with in the first verse of Psalm 23, we're going to start looking at this shepherd and just learning from this shepherd. And we all know the whole psalm. Probably most of us could quote it. But I do hope that tonight that you'll really look at the words, and we'll really study it together and understand what it means to me, and not just trying to quote it quickly and to say the words, but what does this psalm mean for me, and what can I learn and apply to my life? In Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so right away, we are given who this shepherd is, and we understand that a shepherd is one who tends to sheep. The dictionary says one who tends, feeds, and guards sheep in the pasture, and that would be who he's talking about. Pretty straightforward. But who is this shepherd? And as we look there in Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Not just God is my shepherd. Not just the Heavenly Father, but no, the Lord. All caps there. This is Jehovah God. Jehovah God is my shepherd. The great and mighty. The Jehovah God, the Lord, the one who parted the Red Sea, who destroyed thousands with just a word. The one who stopped the sun in his place. The one whose glory set a mountain on fire. The one who holds everything in the palm of his hand. The one by whom all things consist. This is my shepherd, the Lord. Turn, please, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I just love the fact that he calls out that this mighty God is his shepherd. The one who tends to him. The one who cares for him. The one who guards him. The one who feeds him. This is his shepherd. And David calls that out. And we can see throughout the Old Testament, the Lord or being called the shepherd, being described as the shepherd. I think of Psalm 78. It talks about the children of Israel, and a couple times through there, it mentions the Lord as being that shepherd or doing those shepherdly things. In verse 52, it says, "But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness as a flock." A few verses later, in verse 72, it says, "So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." Psalm 80, verse 1 says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth So we can see that he was called the shepherd of Israel. He did that for the people of Israel. But in John chapter 10, we learn that it isn't just the people of Israel to whom he is this shepherd. We'll just start in verse 11 of John chapter 10. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so now, so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." We see here he is not just the shepherd of Israel, but there were sheep from another fold. And that would be us as Gentiles, those who trust in Christ. We are of that other fold. Praise the Lord for giving us access through the shedding of his blood that he can be. And we could say, as David here, that the Lord is my shepherd, personally. First Peter chapter 2. Go ahead and turn over there. First Peter chapter 2. We see more of this, of the Gentiles, of those who have been saved, those who have become the people of God can call him their shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 2, we see in verse 9 of chapter 2, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And you could see, look at this, and you could think that this maybe is starting to talk about Israel. But it, going on in verse 10, it says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Later on in verse 25, we see, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." What a wonderful thing it is that we can call the Lord, Jehovah God, my shepherd. It's an amazing fact. But let's start looking at who this great shepherd, what does he do? What does he do? And that's what most of the psalm, as we look through Psalm 23, it talks about what this shepherd does. And we're going to, just for sake of time, just kind of quickly go through these, and then we'll look at how that applies to us as sheep. But in verse 2 of Psalm 23, we see that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What does our good shepherd do for his sheep? Well, he puts us in good places. He puts us exactly where we need to be. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 9, he says that, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." We'll find exactly what we need. We'll find that good food that we need for our life in order to excel, in order to be what that shepherd wants his sheep to be. He is the good shepherd. At the end of in Romans 8, and at the end of verse 32, it says, let's just read the whole thing. Go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. He gives us all that we need. And that's something that we'll see throughout as we go through Psalm 23, only six verses, but we'll see over and over again that God provides the best for his sheep. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, "What shall we say then? Say to these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" We know that Matthew 7, it talks about if a father wouldn't give to his son a rock or a serpent when he asked for bread or for fish, how could the great heavenly Father not do as well? He gives good things to them that ask him. And our shepherd knows what we need, and he puts us in exactly the places we need to be in order to flourish. It's important that we remember that, but we'll look at that again when we look at the sheep. Not only does he lead us, make us to lie down in green pastures, but he leads me beside the still waters. Not only does our heavenly Father, our great shepherd, know what we need, he knows what we don't need. Now, if you know anything about sheep, which I know very little, I have to admit, but one thing I do know is that they startle very easily. And I was reading that as the shepherds go to give water to the sheep, they often will take them to small pools where the water isn't running because it will cause them to bolt off and it will scare them. If no pools are available, they'll just go to wells and bring up buckets of water for them. But it's important that for them to be able to get that drink, in order to calm them, it has to be by still water. You know, our shepherd knows our frailty and how easily, as humans, we can be spooked. How easily we jump at things when things don't go the way that we want them to. When things scare us, when things frighten us. Turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Our shepherd knows when we need quiet, when we need peace. When maybe there is something that needs to be done in our lives to calm us. When maybe we need something in our life, but we don't have the strength or the fortitude to go where it's rough. Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 10, it says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead all those that are with young." Isn't it wonderful to know that your shepherd, if you're saved, if you know the Lord, if he has saved you, I didn't put it on, huh? Sorry. Oh, it's on, it's just red. There we go. That he cares and knows you better than you know yourself. That he knows your fears. Have you ever been in some situation and why? Why would I go through this? How I can't handle this. No. Your good shepherd knows that you can. He put you there. He knows what you can and can't handle. And so you just need to get your eyes back on the shepherd. Job 34:29 at the beginning, it says, "When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble?" Who then can make trouble? Dwell in those quiet places. Take them for what they are and let the Lord do his work in you. Our shepherd is a God of peace. I think of turn please to Hebrews chapter 13. I'll read in 2 Corinthians while you're going there. Hebrews chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians 13:11 it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 through 21, it talks again about this God of peace. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Our great shepherd, our God of peace, he has a good work to do in his sheep, but we have to allow it. He knows our fears. He knows our weakness, when we need to be led in those peaceful paths, along those still waters. Psalm 103 talks about how, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. It says, "For he knoweth our frame, that we are dust." He knows our weaknesses. And he cares for us because he loves us. Turn back, please, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Not only does he lead us and set us in those good pastures, not only does he lead us beside the still waters, but in Psalm 23, in verse 3, it says, "He restoreth my soul. Restoreth my soul. And that word restore, it means to replace, to return as a person or thing to a former place, taking you back, taking it back to its original or even better state. The idea of restoration, basically the same way we would use it today. He restoreth my soul. You know, sometimes us as sheep, we need some work. We need some work. Maybe our soul is cast down. Maybe our soul is maybe we're heading the wrong direction. Whatever the case may be, but there's some work that needs to be done inside me. There's some restoration that needs to be done, and this is what our good shepherd does. Turn over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This good shepherd, he restores his sheep's soul. Psalm 51, starting in verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Excuse me. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Not only did he need to have that clean heart, that right spirit renewed, but when the Lord did that, and the Lord does that in our heart, and we ask for that restoration, it brings back that joy of thy salvation. That joy of thy salvation. Why? Because this restoration, when it's done in our hearts, in our soul, it will always be a turning back to focusing on the shepherd who is our Lord. A focusing. Lamentations 5:21 says, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." Bring us back to that place of joy in our salvation, where we are gladly serving you, desiring to do everything that we're supposed to do for you, following him, following his leadership, going in the paths that he has for us. Let him restore our soul. You know this verse in Lamentations 5:21 where he talks about, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." That's particularly striking when you think of this being written by Solomon at the end of his life. Sorry, Solomon. It wasn't written by Solomon. It was written by Jeremiah. I apologize. But we are to turn our heart to the Lord. Turn our heart to our shepherd and desire to be restored. Because no matter who you are, there's some restoration needed. Renew our days as of old. Turn back, please, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, "He restoreth my soul." Not only does he do that, but in verse 3, it says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Our shepherd not only puts us in those green pastures, not only takes us by the still waters when we need that peace, when we need that quiet, when we need that water, when we need to be changed, when we need to be renewed, but he also desires to just lead us in the right paths, the paths of righteousness. We see throughout Psalm, over and over again, that desire to just, "Lord, lead me in thy righteousness. Lead me in the right paths. Show me the way. Make thy way straight before me." You see those phrases many, many times. That desire to follow those right paths. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Do we desire to be on these paths of righteousness? They're possible. The good shepherd desires to lead his sheep in the paths of righteousness. Psalm 37 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Our shepherd cares about our path. He cares about our way. In Isaiah 42, verse 16, it says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Psalm 143 says, "Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Why does the Lord bring us in these right paths? Why does he lead his sheep down the paths of righteousness? Well, it says right there in Psalm 23, as well as in Psalm 143 here, for his name's sake. Yes, he does things because he loves us, but even more so, he desires to receive the glory of what he can do in a person's life. We're supposed to be pointing people to our Savior, to our Lord. Psalm 106:8 says, nevertheless, he saved them. Why? For his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. This is our great shepherd, our Lord God. Turn, please, still to Psalm 23. We'll see the next thing about this shepherd. Again, just kind of looking through the psalm, who is this shepherd? What does he do? And then we'll apply what that means to us as sheep at the end. In Psalm 23, in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thou art with me. You know, another great thing about our shepherd is that he's with his sheep. He's with you. If you're saved, the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah God, is with you. Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And this verse just struck me particularly this last week as I was considering it. The Lord's before me, but he's also at my right hand. And what does that mean? You know, we're supposed to follow the Lord. We're supposed to follow after the Lord in these paths. He's leading us. He's guiding us in the way. And as a sheep, as a human, I just can't follow that path by my own power. But I have the Lord by my right hand. He's ever with me. He's always with me. The great shepherd not only leads us in the paths, but he's right there to help me along the path. Because by my power, I could never do it. Oswald Chambers says, in the midst of the awesomeness, a touch comes, and you know it is the right hand of Jesus Christ. You know it is not the hand of restraint, correction, or chastisement, but the right hand of the everlasting Father. Whenever his hand is laid upon you, it gives inexpressible peace and comfort, and the sense that underneath are the everlasting arms, full of support, provision, comfort, and strength. And all those things, as we're following the Lord, and it's through this path, the valley of the shadow of death, and we'll talk more about that later, but he's there right with me, right by my side, giving me that comfort, provision, support, strength that I need right when I need it. Right when I need it. You know, I think of in Isaiah chapter 43, and a well-known, I guess the words have been used is a song, but how the Lord has called me by his name. Thou art mine, he says. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because my God is with me. My shepherd, who's leading me, but he's also with me to bring me along. May we never forget that our shepherd's name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. What a powerful thought that is. And not only a thought, but a reality. But do we treat it as a thought? Or is it a reality to us that God is with me as I go through both the good times and the hard times? In verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 23, we see that just the greatness of our shepherd, of what he provides, of what he does for us, of a shepherd who so greatly blesses us. I think of Psalm 103. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 31, please. Psalm 31. Psalm 103 is just a psalm of praise, of, of how great our Lord is, of what he does for us. And Psalm 103:1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And it goes on about all the things that he takes care of. Truly, we see in Psalm 23 that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That he is going to prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. That he anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In Psalm 31, verse 9, it says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." What a great shepherd we have, a provider, a leader, a restorer, a constant presence, and a giver of all blessings. And like I said, this is only a little overview. We could spend so much time on each verse throughout this psalm, but this is our great shepherd, as we see him called. So we've seen who he is and what he does, but what about us? What do the sheep do? Let's go back, if you're not there already, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, thinking about all these things that our shepherd is, Jehovah God, that he puts me in these green pastures, that he leads me beside the still waters, that he restoreth my soul, that he's with me, that he takes care of me, that he leads me in paths of righteousness. This is who our shepherd is. And the first thing that we see that the sheep do is actually something that they don't do. It says, "I shall not want." He's that great. I shall not want. I'm not going to lack in anything. Turn over a few pages to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I mentioned this verse a little bit earlier. But Psalm 34, in verse 9 and 10, it says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Psalm 84 says something similar at the end. "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." We have a great shepherd. Our Lord provides all that we need. He not only that, but we saw at the end that our cup will run over. He provides so much more than we would ever need, to the point that I'm not going to want. And if I'm feeling like I really have a need, do I have the faith to take it to the Lord that will supply my need? He said it. Maybe he's just waiting for me to ask. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." According to his will. Why? Because he knows every good thing that we need. He knows every good path that I need to take. He knows if I need to be in that green pasture or by that still water or on the path of righteousness or wherever I may need to be. He knows it. And he'll answer according to what we need. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Maybe you feel that you have a need. Maybe you feel that you have a want, but you just haven't had the faith to go ask. Maybe it isn't something you need. Maybe it is, and he's just waiting. But ask the Good Shepherd. He'll give you his answer. Continuing on in Psalm 23, not only do we see that the sheep shall not want, but we see here in at the beginning of verse 2, it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Similarly, in Ezekiel 34:15, it says, "I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down." And I found it very interesting when reading this that in these green pastures where you would think the sheep would desire to be, he has to make them lie down. He has to cause them to stop and be where he wants them to be. In this great place, in this good thing, this thing that was good for them, he has to make us sometimes stay where we're supposed to stay. We often think that we know where the best place for me to be is. where I should go, what I should do. I really need this. But no, the Lord so often has to make me lie down in the green pastures, the place that is perfect for me. I think of Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. His way. Not my way, not what I think, not what I think is best. And we need to stop thinking that I know what's best for me. That, no, Lord, how could we say that to the Lord, our shepherd? No, Lord, I'm okay. I don't want to stay right here. I don't like this place. I don't like this grass. This isn't green enough. This is too green, whatever the case may be. It isn't what I want. No, the Lord knows best. His way is perfect. Isaiah 55:8, another well-known verse, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the simple truth is, as sheep, so often we just need to look to our shepherd, the Lord God, Jehovah God, and say, I trust you. I trust you. I'm willing to stay right here. I'm willing to do this. In Psalm 84:12, it says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Continuing on in Psalm 23, not only does he make me lie down in green pastures, but he leadeth me beside the still waters. Again, this is talking about what our Lord does, but what is my responsibility? And we kind of touched on that. But we simply need to follow his leadership. And I took special notice of just the progression here. We see that this idea of him leading us in these paths of righteousness. In verse 3, it comes directly after him leading me beside the still waters, restoring my soul, and then he leads in the good pastures. You know, sometimes that path that maybe we want to take, or maybe we just want to get to where we're supposed to be going, following the Lord in whatever path in my life, and why can't I just get going? Well, he has some still waters where he needs to calm my soul and restore it before I can get to that path of righteousness. Sometimes there's some work that needs to be done on me before I can get to that path of righteousness. Again, our shepherd knows exactly where to lead us at all times. And sometimes there's some emotions, ideas, faults, failures, whatever that he needs to take in me before I can go on. And we see this throughout Scripture. Please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll see in verse 2, because obviously this psalm isn't teaching that truth, but it was an interesting progression. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we want to know what the will of God is in our life and for him to lead us on, our mind needs to be renewed. Our thoughts, our lives need to be changed to be more like him. And he has to deal with things in ourselves, in us, so that he can lead his sheep where he wants them to be. Psalm 116, go ahead and turn there. Psalm 116, and I might start before you get there. Psalm 116 in verse 3, it says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the land, Lord, in the land of the living. He was brought low. His soul needed to be returned to his rest. He needed some calming down before he could walk on with the Lord. Has our mind been renewed? Has he restored my soul so that I can keep on walking in his paths of righteousness. Continuing on in Psalm 23, we see the next thing that we need to do as sheep. Psalm 23, in verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Again, we talked about how the Lord is with us, and we don't need to fear. You know, how many times, it'd be interesting, I didn't look it up, but how many times in Scripture does it say, "Fear not"? Fear not. How many times is that followed up with, "Fear not, because I'm here. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Again, what a great God we have. But it is true, we as Christians, we as sheep, there should never be fear. Should never be fear. Because we know the one who holds our whole future, our whole selves in his hand. Why would I fear? And you know, this verse here in verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You know, that sounds like a pretty scary kind of place to be. The valley of the shadow of death. But he has just been told and just mentioned the fact that our Lord, he leads beside still waters. He leads in righteous paths. And a shadow is just that, a shadow. It has no substance. It may be scary, but if this is a righteous path that leads through this valley, it's a good path. There's no need to be afraid, because not only is it the path that the Lord has for me, but he's there with me. There's no need to fear. There's no need to be worried. And our surroundings shouldn't affect our trust. What we see around us as Christians in this world shouldn't make us fearful if we're on the path that God has for us. If we've gotten off the path, that's concerning. If we decided to go our own way, that's concerning. But if I'm where the Lord wants me to be, there's no fear, because my God is with me. He's already said where he's going to lead us. We just need to follow and trust that he is doing what he said and is here with me. And we can even be more comforted by the fact here. It says at the end of verse 4 that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I can imagine that in this valley of the shadow of death, it could be hard to see the path, hard to see where I'm going. But my shepherd, my great shepherd, my Lord, has all the tools it takes to keep me on that path. He has his rod. He has his staff. And if you've been around here long, the pastor has talked about how the rod would be a defensive or even a disciplinary tool. And we see that even in Scripture. And the staff would be more for stability or for pulling that sheep back where it needs to get to be. And on this path, even when it gets dark, even when we have trouble seeing, we can know that if we are trusting in our shepherd, whether it's correction, whether it's just his guiding way, he will do that for me if I'm trusting in him, if I'm looking to him as this shepherd. You know, Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Yeah, sometimes it will be some scourging. We're human. We're going to need it. But what do we do when that chastisement comes? Do we get focused on that and wonder why, instead of understanding that it was for me to stay on the path that I'm supposed to stay on? Someone once said, "Look beyond the rod to the all-wise hand that wields it." And I thought that was pretty good, to consider, don't look at my chastisement, but, "Okay, Lord, I see what you want. I must have needed that, or maybe I see why I needed that. I'm sorry, Lord." You know, I think of it as he's called in Isaiah, that potter, and he molds the clay to be exactly what he wants us to be. We are all the work of his hand. And let's let him mold us and lead us where he wants us to be. Continuing on as we get close to closing here, in Psalm 23, 5 and 6, I think it's important that we understand how blessed we are. How blessed we are. Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, for sure, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, this, the end of this psalm, it goes all the way back to, I'm not going to want. This is my great shepherd. He's doing all this for me. He's taking care of me. He's leading me. I just have to simply, and the song comes to mind, trust and obey. That's really what this verse comes down to. How great is our Lord? I just need to trust and obey. See what he's done for me. And I turn over to Psalm 36. We'll look at this verse, and I'll have you go to one other. Psalm 36. I love reading verses of just how great God is. Psalm 36, verses 7 through 10, it says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart." You know, we could look at so many things in these verses, how he prepares that table before me in the presence of mine enemies, again, showing his greatness to those around us. He anoints my head with oil. We could do so much. I'm just focusing tonight on my cup runneth over. And it truly does. If you're saved, your cup runneth over. We have this great shepherd. And I hope you understand how and saw a little bit more about how great he is and how much he cares for me and for you. So much. So much that he sent his son to die for me so that I could become one of his sheep. Me, a sinner. Wretched. Not one of his sheep. But he did it so that he could purchase me, so I could be one of his. Psalm 23, 6 ends with, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wouldn't we want, if he's that great and he does that much for me, shouldn't I just want to stay with him? Dwell with him? The one who turned my mourning into dancing, David says in Psalm 30. "Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Psalm 62, 6, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Nothing can separate me. Nothing can take me away. I want to stay right here with my shepherd." You know, Jesus asked the apostles, you know, "Will you also leave me?" And Peter said, "To whom else could we go? To whom else could we go?" He said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And David here is saying, "I just want to dwell with my great shepherd for all the days of my life." You know, someday we won't have to just follow by faith. Our faith shall be made sight. Let's finish off in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Our great shepherd loves us with more love than we could ever understand. Why wouldn't we choose to dwell with him? And someday we shall forever. And that's what this scene is. In Revelation chapter 7, in verse 9, we see, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God." Someday this will be us. "Saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Are you looking forward to that day? In the meantime, just trust and obey our great Heavenly Father, our great Shepherd. He desires to put us where we need to be, lead us where we need to go, calm us when we need to be calmed, take care of issues in us when we need to be restored. And our job is simply trust and follow and obey Him. Let's pray.